Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. I was up north at the weekend.
Oh yeah, did you find Jeffrey?
Jeffrey Donaldson. No, I didn't find him.
Debate the head. You'll have to wait for him the next time.
Yeah. I started thinking about how they must be kind of slightly addicted to stress up in the north.
Why?
Well, because everything is always so tense. Like we have troubles down here.
Yeah.
But we kind of, they're different. There's a different tension up there. The Scots were transplanted. The Ulster Scots were transplanted. Mm-hmm. In the 1600s, religious lunatics, like strict Protestants, and they were injected into a land of defeated Catholics, and they just brought trouble with them from the get go. And I just think from that moment, the North, like we have trouble, like we had the Civil War down here in the 1920s, mm-hmm. and that was bad, but it wasn't stressful. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? We weren't on shooting each other. But it was kind of it was an easygoing war where you just, if you had to shoot your cousin, you'd shoot him, you wouldn't make a big fuss.
Just move on.
But the boys up north seems to be just, there's always seems to be somebody is upset about something, and there's the central nervous system of the people in the north must have just got addicted.
I think their stress levels are higher.
Fuck, they love it. But even the accent. You take a Carlo or an Athlone accent or Tullamore, and it's kind of, you know, there's a kind of easy feeling to it.
Softness,
There's kind of, Hector, is that yourself?
How are you getting on there?
Sure, come on in for a cup of tea. There's no problem here.
Where's your father? Is he out the back? Is he?
I knew a woman who knew your mother. I did, I knew her. Did I meet her in Forban?
I remember that night, right?
That was some crack. The night we had, do you remember, we were drinking for 4 days and poor old Johnny threw himself into the river at the end of it.
He's a great man.
So even when they're talking about sad stuff, it's kind of just like, sure, my mother and my father and all my brothers and my cousins and my aunties and my uncles, they all died in a plane crash. but sure, look, you just got home with it, don't you?
They don't even pronounce the
word. Well, look here,
they were
coming back from the Canaries. They had a week in the Canaries before it happened.
They take out half the letters.
One of my relations who wasn't killed said, sure, they went to Hunahai. And that was what we were saying. So do you mean
there is a softness and even, there's just a relaxation to
it. John and Cock, and you would talk Cock and Kerry, it'd be funny clipped, it'd be fast paced, but it'd be kind of an optimism in it. Do you know what I mean? They're quite happy to be talking to you. Do you want the family to talk to you?
Are you going to Listowel? Hector, have you won for me for Listowel?
So there's kind of this.
Yeah, and then I love it. The Clare.
What's
Clare? Last Sunday, Clare took on Limerick, and I swear to God, there was no dinner cooked in our house because my missus was like, there'll be no dinner cooked. And the dinner. Come on, Clare. Come on, Tony Kelly over the mask, Kelly. Look at Tony Kelly. 16 pints for Tony Kelly from Bellier. And the dinner. Jesus Christ, there's some crowd in Cusick Park. Look at them. 18,000 in Cusick Park. And the dinner.
Yeah, the Clare.
So there's a kind of, you know what I mean? So even Irish people can be depressed, suicidal, traumatised. But the accent is always, once you cross the fucking border, the fuck, what do you the fuck, no, the fuck.
What the fuck would you be saying after me? The fuck, I fucking shit the fucking head of you. You stupid fucking cunt, you fiend, you fuck you. You fucking Michelle O'Neill, I'm fucking Jeffrey Dorris, gonna die. What the fuck are you gonna do with that? What the fuck?
It'd nearly break a window. It'd break a window with us.
Aggression, aggression.
And you go to Donegal, Donegal, who's going on now, sorry? I wish I'd go down near the back when all of a sudden with the band in the back. And it's a fucking, it's easy. But once you're across the, you're the fuck you, you're the fuck you. Where the fuck are you going? What the fuck? Your room's fucking ready. The fucking room is ready.
Oh, you want an early chicken?
Do you want to hear a fucking starter? Are you having a fucking starter?
A fucking late chicken?
Yeah, do you want... what do you have for dessert? You fuck you.
Fuck you, you're late chicken.
There's always a... Yeah, it's always broken up there. It's always fucking... Hassled. Nothing to be fixed. Where, who's the... I love that lady from the Alliance Party. What's her name? I only seen her for
Naomi.
The first... She's, by God, she's got a great future ahead of her talking. She is good. She's good. I like Naomi.
That's
shut your mouth.
Protect her. That's because she's got red hair. And you,
yeah, I suppose. And she's different. And she's Alliance. What the fuck's going on with the Alliance Party?
Why is she different?
Who are they and where have they come from?
Oh, this is really
interesting. Oh, shut up, Tommy, will you? Shut your mouth.
You're auditioning for the Brendan O'Connor show every week.
Every week.
You're trying to crowbar.
Shut up.
You know what?
The beautiful
He's
thing?
Putting together a little
You know the beautiful thing is, in those DUP seats that were the DUP seats, it's now full of fucking Sinn Féiners.
What is he like?
Those seats that were the bums of DUP that sat in those seats for fucking 40 years.
What the fuck is the Bill Shankly's doing now?
The bums on those seats in a Stormont. And if I hear the word fucking protocol again, I'll puke.
Okay.
Tommy,
shut up, so just because you're up Belfast? There gigging. Shut your mouth, the two of you. I've travelled all over the world. You think he's no Belfast? I fucking know Kuala Lumpur.
Kuala Lumpur.
Kuala Lumpur.
It's a fucking a Thai restaurant right. On the Falls Road, isn't it?
The two of you. I think you're there. Want to shut your mouth. It's the best fucking Indian in fucking the Falls Road.
He took me down the fucking Kuala Lumpur.
Kuala Lumpur? I got a body chicken for the Kuala Lumpur last night. It fucking burned a hole up, man.
Are they the Wizard of Oz? The fucking the Kuala Lumpurs.
Oompa Loompas.
A fucking Peking China. That's where I'm going tonight for Peking China.
Oompa Loompa is the capital of Qatar.
No, you're right.
From
there
Belfast,
is a.
I love that accent.
How so are they up there, Tom?
They're all good, but I went out to see Ed Sheeran's set. So we were gigging at the same time, obviously.
Boucher Road, was it?
Yeah. So in a field in Belfast, and it was just the size of the set when. It's a fucking empire.
Now, is this the one that was in Dublin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he got two of them made.
Mm.
And so when it takes 4 days to put it up, each one, maybe 3 or 4 days to take down. It has something like 72 trucks.
Stop. It looks like a sprawling fucking...
Remember you two did the spider years ago or something.
Zuropa.
Like so I went out in the afternoon to have a look at it. And I was thinking to myself, he has a strange life, Ed, doesn't he? Like I was looking at the cup final on Saturday or Sunday, whatever day it was on, and there was 90,000 people there, and Ed is doing five days there.
It's
just
mad,
all that
for one person, like,
yeah,
you know.
Bringing all that kind of hyped up energy to people. And I was thinking about his audience then, and I don't know much about the Ed Sheeran audience, but my notion is that at the moment, right now, it's mainly 15-year-old girls. So when he walks out on stage, he's hourly, he has to be prepared for that kind of screeching and screaming and that kind of Beatles, Elvis, high-pitched, relentless
adoration.
Estrogen Express.
Estrogen Express.
And then I was thinking of Ed's career over the next 30 or 40 years, and those fans will stay with him.
Mm.
So if Ed comes back to Belfast in 10 years' time, all those 15-year-olds, they'll be 25. Huh? Yeah. That'll be a bit more interesting for them. Do you know what I mean? Like a field full of 25-year-old young ones.
They won't be shouting as loud.
No, but they'll be... He might hang around for a few drinks after.
And how do the boys on a Westlife boys feel now?
Well, you see, that's the thing. I used to be a Westlife fan, but I wouldn't probably go and see them now.
Then when... So Ed is nearly 30 now, so he's playing to 15-year-olds. And he'll be 40 playing to 25-year-olds. They'll be cracking that.
Yeah,
or they'll be fucking cracking that. And then he'll be 50 playing to 30, a field full of 35-year-old women.
She'll love it.
Oh, women are at their peak around 35.
Prosecco, I think so, yeah. And cava and fucking I'll drive six of them in the back.
There's a glint in the eye when a woman is 35, like she's still playing the game but she's no idea she's lost.
It's all over.
Then when Ed is 60,
yes,
he'd be playing a field full of 45-year-old women, and that'll be tense. That'll be they'll be trying to have the crack.
He's not as good as he was.
He'd have to start earlier.
Where are the toilets?
But yeah, at the Mount. Oh, that'll be. They'll have to have a bigger field. Yeah. But I think it's going to get dangerous for Ed when he's 70. And he's playing to a field of perimenopausal 55-year-old women. Now, what happens sometimes to some women is they feel violent during the menopause.
Right.
They have this fucking anger and this desire to fucking smash shit. But they have no idea where it's coming from, mm-hmm. and they have no idea how to release it. So they'll be going down to see Ed Sheeran in the field in fucking East Belfast. And Ed will be coming on and they'll be throwing plates at him. You stupid fucking cunt. Fuck off! What's wrong with my life? Ed! Fuck you! I don't know what's wrong with my life, but you're not fucking helping! You fucking ye! You're starting to put the voiceover now on the Clavis show.
Yes.
And how's that going?
Great.
So do you look at the pictures?
Do I feel special when I'm doing the voiceover? I drove to Mount Bellew into a bungalow with Evan. His mother's at a hospital, Lord Rester. She's in a bit of respite in the nursing.
Lord Rester.
So go back on that. His mother's
You would say Lord Rester when they're still alive.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering as well. Do you mean God bless her?
Hang on.
Evan's God bless her. Fair play to her.
No, yeah. Hang on a second. I'll take it again. So do I feel special when I'm doing the voice? So I had to go to Mount Bellew.
No, we're leaving all this
I'm
in,
going so. In. I'm going. Evan's mother, a fine woman. God be good to her. Is just back at a hospital.
Fair play.
And she's a mighty...
She's not dead yet.
No, she's a mighty woman. And she's having a little bit of respite in Mount Bellew. So Evan texts me, he says, can we do a voiceover? I says, where? Because we normally do it in a car in a petrol station. And he says... We sit on the two laptops in a car and a petrol station.
And then you can hear this in the background.
I feel special? So
hang on, you do the voiceover for the chat show in a fucking lay-by.
We write it on laptops. We don't record it there. We write it. And then it goes off to get translated by these translation people. Then they send it back to us. Then I go to a recording studio in Dublin and I record the voiceover. But we write
it. Why don't you just write it in Irish? Because you can speak Irish.
Yeah, but it has to be translated perfectly. Oh, shut up.
But you're speaking it.
She's getting very defensive.
No, I'm starting to sweat.
Don't ask any questions.
I'm starting to sweat.
He doesn't even speak Irish.
He just reads it out.
He just fucking reads. He hasn't a clue what he's saying.
I bet they use Google Translate.
My secret's out
well.
After 22 years. I don't speak a word of fucking Irish.
You write it in English. Then it gets translated into Irish.
Yes.
Because it has to be grammatically perfect.
There's certain grammatically correct, because it's very technical. If we're going
to... Pay what?
Technical.
Shut up, Tommy.
You can't even speak English.
Okay. I got home at...
That'll be awkward without translating it.
Fuck off. Okay, let's be clear on this. I got home at fucking 3 o'clock this morning, right? While your man here, both of us were doing a gig. We'll get to the gig in a minute, but I only got into bed at 3 o'clock, right? So shut up.
No, but
I can't speak today.
I speak in spurts. I can't understand. If you're the one that's going to be speaking it, so why does it need to be perfectly trans... You're the one that's going to be saying the words.
So there are certain
words you don't know.
So say if I'm going to...
Inish Thomagin.
No. I'm on the banks of the Bosphorus here and I'm going to meet a geopolitical analyst who's going to tell me about the strategic situation.
Oh, yeah. So those were...
Do you know what I'm talking about?
See, I have you.
You know, it's fine. I can put that... I hectorise the voiceover, but it goes to the official translators and T.G. Cahir.
You're now an adjective.
so there are...
Hectorised.
TMI is the name of the place in Spittle and there's some brilliant people there. And the beautiful thing is, whatever the show is... You'll form a relationship with one or two of the people
that fair.
Work on the show who have Munster Irish or Northern Irish or Connemara Irish, and they'll get my flow and they'll sort of put that
beautiful.
Connemara, and then I'll come back and I'll hectorise it again and then it'll go out. So do I feel special when I'm sitting?
No, not mind that anymore. What I'm curious about now is how did you feel looking back on what you've recorded, like and what the editor put together?
And
when where'd you get AIDS again?
Serbia.
AIDS.
all those places, and you're saying, oh, I'm meeting this person, I'm meeting that person.
Yes.
So looking back at it now,
on to sit there now
to see the
first edited
you happy
draft.
With it?
Oh yeah, of Istanbul. It looks fantastic. It's jumping out of the picture, and it's great. Starting off and it finishes on Gallipoli. The last nine minutes of the show is Gallipoli. It's fantastic. And to put the voiceover on, and we did Bulgaria as well. So I'm really excited. And it's never been as topical with the war in Ukraine. So it's great. It's hard to believe that 1 minute we're there, now it's voiceover, and September, October it'll be on the screens.
Wow.
You came in late last night. You wanted to come home. You didn't want to stay in Dublin. Neither did I.
No.
We both drove the long road home from the RDS last night. And he went ahead of me.
How did she get on?
I didn't enjoy it. Great people. On a night out. And I kind of felt a bit sorry for... So I got talking to a few of them beforehand. And it was kind of... You know when women dress up?
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of effort into choosing the dress, hair,
makeup,
tan, just getting everything
the
right,
dress,
the sprays, everything like that, the shoes, and they're all looking at each other and encouraging one another and spotting dresses. The lads could be at a GAA function or a parent-teacher meeting. They're kind of dressed the same. Do you know what I mean? But the women are, and I got talking to the few of them beforehand, and they were just nice, from young to middle-aged, and just the far side of middle-aged women on a night out. It was important. Maybe they wouldn't get a fearsome mountain nights out.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's
yes.
And it's a real treat to stay in a hotel up in Dublin. And the,
but they weren't from Dublin?
No, they're from all over the country.
All
and,
right, okay.
And the company that was putting on the thing was paying for them. And these were ordinary, decent, rural people. And a lot of them would have a soft spot for me from the chat show.
Yes.
They'd be going, oh, Tommy's great now. I didn't used to like him, but he's actually,
yeah.
I love the show. I love that. Did you see your one who came on and she was this and she was that? And they'd see me, oh, come over here, Tommy, sit down beside me.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
The show is just great.
And was this beforehand?
This is before
you
the show.
Like a mix, you were mixing.
I was just kind of floating around the edges. I wanted to get a kind of smell of the room, you know?
Yeah.
And then, but my stand-up is different.
Yeah.
My stand-up is kind of...
Not appropriate.
It thrives on the edge.
Yeah.
It kind of, it's about pushing boundaries. It's about being the kind of the uncontrolled mouth in the room. It's about releasing social tension.
Yeah, and they kind of thought you were doing a talk show kind of thing.
Or something. So I got up on stage and I was, fuck this and fuck that and look at me arse and big mickeys and swelled fannies. And, and I just, because that's the only thing I can do. And I just felt sorry for the...
Finger up the bum was great.
I just felt sorry for...
They were probably loving it.
They were loving it.
Well...
They were loving it.
Because there's a bit of like...
They didn't choose to... If people come see me in the North...
They pay for them and
they say, we're going to see him do stand-up. It's not like the chat show. It's going to be a little bit mental and
punchier,
a bit off the cuff and a little bit rude and a little bit, you know... It'll be
edgy.
Like I said, it's about releasing tension.
Yes.
So wherever there's tension in the culture, that's what you're attracted towards. So if there's tension around sex or the Ukraine or fucking wealth or whatever the tension is, you go there and you try and release it by not taking reality seriously.
Yeah.
And I just think I felt sorry for these women last night because I just thought, oh my God. The lads were
I'd say the women loved it too.
The lads were pounding the
women
the fucking
were the women drunk or like was people by this stage?
I have to say, was it early in the night when you came on?
10 o'clock. But I have say, we have on my left hand side here and your right hand side, Rita, we have Hector does a fair amount of Nixers as an MC, which stands for Master of Ceremonies, but really should be renamed the Minister of Crack. Because when Hector does MC, he's absolutely phenomenal.
Excellent.
The way he got all these kind of overweight strangers just to bond for the evening.
Like, you walk in, it was the RDS for Tommy walking in there.
Bet into the dresses. There was
500 retailers in the RDS. But it was such a big venue as well because there was loads of people milling around, and in a ballroom or where you play in a venue, it's quiet, the lights are down, the music starts, Tommy, and you have them.
No, but people choose, people aren't finishing soup.
And yeah,
it was like you were doing a cabaret show.
It was.
Do you remember
a matinee?
Do you remember that show?
It was brilliant. It was a great night.
Do you remember that show Sweets, MTV used to do this thing called Sweet 16.
Yes.
Where they'd go and extravagant birthdays all over the world. And they did one in Ireland.
Dads.
Oh, sorry, didn't you have to do one?
No,
you
no.
You did one for your son.
Oh, no. Somebody wanted you to
Somebody
do one.
Somebody wanted me to do one, but I wouldn't go near him. But I remember that there was one up in Louth somewhere, and this fella comes on and it's his 16th birthday, and his dad owns about 5 garages or something. It was just fucking extravagance. It was fucking, they flew in rappers from fucking Miami
and the Isle of Man,
fucking Kanye East. It was all these, it was mega
loud
strippers and fucking everything. The young fella was there and he said, I don't believe it, I fucking, he says, I feel like I'm the king of Dundalk. I do.
The king of Dundalk.
And Range Rovers. And I'm after getting you a Range Rover. Yeah. Oh, classic. It was classic. Oh, Sweet 16, Loud style.
That is absolutely but like, brilliant. Somebody...
He legged it off stage. Sorry, Lorraine. He legged it. It was great. It went down brilliantly. And then I had to stay on, do another bit and finish the night. So I was there going, am I going to sleep in a hotel? Or am I going to get back to go for the podcast? And then I just went 10 past 12. I'm walking across the little canal at the Herbert Park Hotel, and I knew he was on the road, and I just wanted to get in behind him in the car, and we both go on convoy. But then I sent a text. I just needed to know where he was geographically.
Rita, how, in the terms, scale of 1 to 10, how safe would you say it is to send a text
sake,
while you're driving?
Come on, nobody
to
on the
read
road.
A text while you're driving,
you
and to reply
fucking,
to a text you while
hear,
you're driving.
Do you hear the fucking road safety of Ireland?
See,
here?
He wasn't driving, and he was
no, he was driving.
I wasn't. I was above you the hotel.
Driving.
I was above the hotel.
You
at
were driving.
Shut your
said...
mouth. I'm only leaving now, and I put leaving in a Navan accent.
Yeah.
I said, "Are you past that loan? I'm only
That's
leaving
it,
now." And then
if I
did have a shower,
if
I did have a shower, took the suit off, and nothing. So I got into the car and I drove the whole way to Galway on my own with Carl Murray and the late night from RTE. And I must say, it was the most lovely, surreal soundscape.
Carl
Murray,
serene,
Carl Murray painted me a beautiful late night full moon soundscape as I drove past Rochford Bridge and Road.
Yeah.
So basically you're
and
telling me Tommy didn't text
car.
You back till this
Tommy
morning.
Didn't,
I don't even
not even a fucking
I
text.
Saw Tommy in the car last week and I wouldn't even ring him while I was in the car because he wouldn't even have
what
his
time
phone
you hold
connected.
If I texted, if I had texted you back, you would have been driving home and you would maybe be going just over the bridge, the far side of Athlone, the Galway side of Athlone.
Yes.
Where you,
yeah, at the far side.
Yeah, you'd have been driving there listening to Carl Murray. And out of the corner of your eye, you'd have seen an upside down fucking 7 Series BMW in a field with an ambulance around it going, oh, I wonder what happened there. And it would be because I tried to fucking text you back when I was driving over the bridge.
Like that.
Listen, I got over the Shannon last night and I said, I've had enough of this. It was like 20 to 2 in the morning.
And what'd
and
you do?
I fucking went
took
in.
The lad out.
The motor at the,
and I
the
pulled
motor.
Myself asunder before Kilreakin.
That's it, yeah.
The I know I didn't.
If I can come before I get to the toll,
and then he says,
the
I know.
Side
I, and then he says, I know I didn't.
I know. I went
thanks for the clarification.
I went into my library on Apple Music and I
still
tell,
on the phone.
And tell her what I did. I went into the Doors live in LA in 1972 and it fucking took me on a journey the whole way to Clare Galway. The Doors live, loud.
A friend of mine used to pull into lay-bys and pull himself asunder.
A friend of mine?
Yeah.
Yeah, convenient use of a friend there.
But I've always been amazed at how desperately horny must you be to...
Jesus.
Well, would you be? Maybe he was listening to something.
Like an aural erotic...
tape.
Like 50 Shades of Grey, the audiobook. We have that on film.
Porn by,
tape,
by audio.
CD, vinyl,
DVD.
And book. Braille, the Braille version.
We got home safe and sound. But what time did you get into bed at? That's what I want to know.
I was in bed about 1:15, I'd say maybe.
And look at this sprightly little head in you this morning.
1:15. How was your few days, Lucia?
I was at a confirmation on Saturday. My nephew Dara had his confirmation.
What name did the child choose?
Well, his name is Dara Michael and he wanted to pick Jackson, but his mother wouldn't allow him. Uh-huh. So he picked Jordan, Michael Jordan.
All right, okay.
Basketball.
It doesn't have to be a saint anymore.
That's what I said.
Saint
I
like, Jordan.
I said, it's a bit rare
Why
now.
Does it not have to be a saint
It used
anymore?
To be always a saint.
When did that rule change?
I don't know if it changed.
Mary Lou brought that in.
Yeah.
She's
it's
a hot,
all her
she's
fault.
A hotline to the church now.
It's all her
There'll
fault.
Be some crack when she's in charge, won't there? There'll be some fucking crack when she's in charge. Every house will have a tricolour flying outside of it, and if you don't, fellas will call around and bait the head of you.
You'll know every lyric of the first verse of Our Own Navine.
That's it.
It won't be just the chorus.
You may say goodbye to Ireland's Call. That's a fact.
Watch. Somebody will there.
Rory
standing.
Best can go fuck himself. Hey, Ireland's Call is over.
They'll be there at a match in Monaghan or somewhere. And now, Shasta Moitin High, Our Own Navine, and this young girl looking out at the wind blowing. She goes, Shinna Fina. And then the sniper will take her out to get the Fianna Fáil. No more Fianna Fáil. Shinna Lacra Fáil.
It'll be like when we got those tablets all in the post. Remember when there was going to be a
nuclear war?
Yeah, we'll all get an Irish flag.
It'll be exciting when Mary Lou gets in. I think
the confirmation.
Bit of different.
We'll have to wait. That mightn't be too long. We'll be able to talk about it on the podcast. I'd say in the next few weeks, months.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The confirmation, right? So the bishop came out and he was all business. And because Darrow was B, he was at the top row. So I was like right in front of the bishop. Interestingly, I know him because I used to work for him a long time ago.
As what?
Just doing a little bit of PR for him and stuff.
PR for the bishop?
Yeah. Helping him out to use his iPhone and tweet. And
deleting pictures and...
Anyway, the bishop... was speaking, right?
How long did you work for the bishop?
Ah, just a couple of months.
How did you get a job?
Turn an eye over his Grindr profile.
How did you get a call from the bishop?
No, bishop, I just don't think that's suitable.
Not that picture.
You're like the Ray Donovan then. You're cleaning up.
I can't comment on that. I just a small...
Did you get a call from the parochial
house? The bish called.
You.
Me and the bish go way back. Anyway, so...
So what was he bishop when you were working for him?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
He's been the bishop since...
1820.
Yeah, because it's not a great, you can't get out of it. It's like Hotel California. Once you're in, there's no out.
Oh, it's an endless, okay. Yeah.
So,
and God, did he pay you?
Yeah, of course I got paid.
Cash. Holy Communion coins.
No, the basket money. Sunday basket. I was relying on big crowds heading to church and it was dwindling, so I had to leave. But he,
he was
speaking about, you know, now, first of all, when you got the pledge for your confirmation?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I believe mine was a silent pledge. You took it if you chose to take it.
Silent pledge.
Yeah, that's what they did.
How long will you stay off? Don't ask
it. Yeah, no, but they don't ask you. Will to you take say it out loud?
It was 15 or 18, wasn't it? That was
18. 18, right?
We had a choice in St Oliver Plunkett's and Avenue. Go 15.
No, you couldn't. You couldn't drink alcohol till you're 18. So how would it be?
No, you couldn't have a choice to 15, Tommy. Don't be ridiculous.
There was bars in Avenue that's open for 15-year-olds.
Used to be
you talking about
playing pool and having a pint. Yeah. Well, of course, I used
15-year-olds only.
I took the pledge, but then about...
Jimmy Fleming's on Trimgate Street. You wouldn't be under 18s only.
Bottles of baby
sham. Sats and brow.
But I did take the pledge, but I broke it after about 3 or 4 weeks because I used to have bottles of Guinness for my my dinner, like. But that was a health, that was for health reasons. Yeah. So the bishop was asking them to take their pledge silently. They didn't have to say I do or I don't or whatever. But his entire, it was outdated, his speech, because, or his homily or whatever you call it, because it was all about, you know, alcohol and sustaining from alcohol. And I'm like, they're 12, they're probably fucking smoking dope already.
Yeah.
Like, they need to trend it up.
Ketamine is big as with kids as well.
Kids love ketamine.
Yeah. Special K.
They're buying it in bulk at school. But, you know, it's so, like, I know the church is outdated, but, like, wouldn't you think they'd try and appeal to kids? They have them there in the palm of their hands talking to them. But anyway, there was another priest there. I spoke about him a few weeks ago, and he came over to me and he says, Loretta, I need to thank you for something. And I said, God, for what? And he said, you mentioned me on the podcast. And I said, oh, Godfather, you're not listening to the podcast, are you? And he goes, no, but me nephew in San Francisco or California or Los Angeles somewhere is listening to it. And he told me that you mentioned me. So thanks a million. Killeen, he's a lovely, he's a great man, great Knockmore man. But he's a retired Monsignor now, but he is always kind of hanging around.
Did you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement when you're working with the bishop? Were there any legal things that you kind of went, oh, that's interesting. They're moving with the times. They're minding themselves.
No.
It was all very casual.
Very casual, yeah. It was all very casual.
Did you work out of the bishop's gaff?
No, I worked in an institute down beside the church.
An institute?
That's what it was called.
Well, they're big doors.
Lots of doors and windows and little small offices and big offices. And
what did you...
I didn't see him all the time. I just saw him maybe once a week or so.
What sense did you have of the religious life after working at such close quarters with somebody so powerful?
Are they powerful, or like, yeah, I suppose, like, is a bishop a powerful figure now in society?
Did you think it was a sad life? Or was it?
I always think it is, and I pass by his big, massive house. It looks so cold and miserable and dark, and you just think
that's not what Jesus would have wanted.
No,
Jesus didn't want men living on their own.
Well, somebody decided.
Tucked away,
and it's awful sad. Like, he's so, you know, he's so, like, friendly and nice, and, you know, he's a good talker, and he's not boring, you know.
Yes.
And you just think, God, like, it's such a sad life. Like, I was talking to another priest before, and he said, like, that's the hardest thing, not being able to have sex, like, not being able to be in a relationship
with the parishioners.
With anyone.
Okay.
With a female or a male or whatever you choose to be.
So the priest said the hardest thing is not being involved romantically.
That was
with
a different priest I was talking to.
Yeah, it's not easy for them.
You know, it is a very, very, like, it's a sad life, really. And there's loads of them that have their own interests and they do their own thing and they, you know, they have cracked to a certain element, but they're still going home at night and closing the door and they're on their own, like. Yeah. And it's not like it used to be 40 years ago. Like, they don't all have housekeepers now and, you know, getting... Like, it's a sad...
You sat down with the bishop one time.
Down with Bishop Michael Smith, and I had a good old barney with him about taking care of priests and minding priests.
And what was your sense of the religious life after talking to him?
I think the average age of a priest in this country is well into his late 50s and 60s. We're going to have to import them from...
Yeah.
And we are importing them.
We've two churches in Knockmore now, and one of them has... The priest is retired, so the Monsignor is working. I said to him, God, you must be flat out now covering the church. And he goes, ah, no, just 3 days a week. And my brother was there with me. And he says, what, are you on a FOSS scheme now, Father? You're only doing 3 days a week.
I said
so
to him,
he just covers 3 days.
Why don't you give him a company car? Why have they Wi-Fi in all these buildings? Is there heat? When will they be able to marry? And he just said, I said, are you minding the young priests of Mead and Westmead? Are you minding those young priests? Are you making the job attractive? Are you putting it up there as an attractive way of
package.
Life? Because you're not. And that's the problem. It's not. And
I think it's the other way they should be going. To make it more extreme. So
no Wi-Fi, no car.
How more extreme
a donkey.
Could it be?
You don't live anywhere. Jesus said,
"Live in the church."
You don't live anywhere. You're a tramp. You just
have an ass and cart.
You're a holy fool. You're just some kind of vagrant for Christ on the road, traveling mendicants. Priests shouldn't fucking live anywhere. Shouldn't own anything. Should be walking around.
Lost you.
Staying in barns and
barns. Can you fucking imagine?
Staying it in hay sheds.
The wild priests of Knockmore. Traipsing. That's what Jesus said to the apostles. He said, just fucking head out there and go walking and go preaching from town to town and don't prepare what you're going to say. In the Gospel of Mark, it says, don't prepare what you're going to say. Just fucking start talking and the Holy Spirit will fill you.
Yeah.
Go! And that's what they did.
They left fucking Jerusalem and Nazareth and they just fucking traipsed around the world.
Yeah.
They fucking walked as far as Rome, as France. Some of them even made it to England and fucking across to Carrickfergus. They walked to Russia or down to fucking Africa. A couple of them hitched to fucking China. They got boats to South America and they walked. They fucking...
And
none of this bullshit of, do you have a housekeeper, or none of this bullshit of, you can't ride anybody. Jesus, go. Tell them. The good news. That's what the gospel stands for. That's the Greek... Good, and what is the good news? The good news is the kingdom of God is inside you, and when you die, you're going to fucking live in it eternally. So go tell people. What are you fucking looking at me for? Go! Fucking go, go, go!
And close the door behind you.
Go, go, go! And they went off filled with the fucking fire. You've heard of Pentecost?
Yes.
Where the fucking, the fiery flames of the Holy Spirit came down and singed the heads of the apostles and filled them with the fervour. They said, go speak to the fucking world. They did.
You should be a priest.
That was the vision, but that was... So the Son of God had that vision for his apostles. A life of adventure and fucking high drama. And the most important message for people to hear ever. That everything you're looking for is inside you, and when you die, you're going to live in eternal bliss. That's the best news anybody could ever hear. He didn't want people to be stuck in a... drippy, wet fucking parish in some fucking bogland, living on their own in a drab house full of no colour, wearing black and sensible shoes and driving a fucking Fiat Mirafiori. And they didn't want that. He said, fucking, I came to give you life and life abundantly. So how many priests do you think, with their fucking sad pants and their depressed fucking cardigans, are living an abundant life?
Well, some of them are, because you meet them, and some of them are full of life.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Don't disagree with me!
Me and Esther.
I didn't come here to be fucking challenged!
This is like...
Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Rhetorical questions.
I am talking to myself. Do not interrupt.
Say the word
with abundance. Your horse shit fucking realities.
Say the word abundance again.
Abundance!
Very.
I came that you may have life. And life abundantly. Get me my Bible. Hector, find my fucking Bible.
Oh, sir, wait one moment, sir.
I'll fucking read you the whole thing from start to finish.
Oh, no, please.
We'll be here
for a
month.
Where is it?
There's a Bible over
there. Where is the Holy Bible?
Anyway, that's...
Boy!
They've become so separated from the original encouragement.
Do you think they believe the stuff? Like, he was on about the kids, you know, oh, your parents are great and your families and your sponsors, blah, blah, blah. But the real person that you can go to for advice, or the real, is the Holy Spirit. And you're kind of like, the Holy Spirit isn't going to fucking tell you to have a drink or stay out longer or come home or go to work or get a job.
Because it doesn't matter to the Holy Spirit.
But what, like, is it real? Like, is the Holy Spirit there actually... guiding them, like, is it? Like, I...
Now, Rita, we're in fairly fucking serious theological territory here.
Will I put on the kettle?
Yeah, it's a difficult one.
Is the Holy Spirit really guiding them?
I was at... And then my niece, she's 10, was sitting beside me and I said to her, are you listening to this? And she goes, no, not really, she said. And he was on about plants and the root of a plant and the roots are the Rita, Holy Spirit. And you're like, nah.
I'll slap the head of that lad.
There's a lot of grey areas there.
I'll drive up and I will bait the head of that lad and I'll attempt to cop on.
Why doesn't
he start a new brethren of travelling?
What would your church be called?
Mendicants.
You'd be like
be
Ian
the flock of the flying eagles. New church by Tommy Tiernan.
But it's adventure.
I see that.
Christ spoke adventurously.
But they're not adventurous because they're caught and they're stuck and they're afraid and they're paralysed and they're unsure.
Some of the apostles had fucking their jobs. Like, there was two of
them. They were men of the people.
They had jobs.
What do you want the fucking parish priest to be a mechanic as well? Like,
would you stop?
Shut up, will you? Go with it. Shut your mouth, fucking Jerusalem, John.
They couldn't have, like, jobs. They couldn't be, like, running the post office or, like, being a
mechanic.
They
were normal men. The apostles were normal men. They were cobblers and snooker players and everything.
Making snooker poo.
Okay, that wasn't what I was going to say.
Go on.
I didn't think so.
Continue.
What I was going to say was that when Jesus met them, they had jobs. Like, there was two of the apostles. They were working with their father, a family business of fishermen. And Jesus said to the two lads, never mind your...
Come away from your pots.
Yeah.
never mind your father, and come with me.
It was like the X Factor for apostles.
Britain's got apostles.
And go back.
We should do that in Ireland. Ireland's got.
And where were the other boys working?
They were all just
mechanics and stuff.
Fixing carts.
They were just doing ordinary whatever people worked at in them days, like carpenters and.
Oh yeah, sure. Joseph was a carpenter.
Tailors and stuff like that. But Jesus said, "Leave all that, and come with me, and we'll go wandering."
So, what would your sales pitch
be? Like if Ed Sheeran just was walking around Belfast and he saw a taxi driver or a fella working in a clothes shop, you know, and he said, "Mind that shit. Come with me.
I'm going on a world tour.
We'll have the crack."
Be fucking great.
Jesus was the Ed Sheeran of his time. Just bringing people the good news.
How many years did Jesus tour?
He was on the road for 3 years.
Is that all?
Yeah, but he's some
30
impact.
30 to 33.
Some impact.
You know. But I am just blown away by how different the scenario of the Gospels was to the reality of church life today. It's just something has fucking died in the spirit of that whole adventure, and people aren't thriving.
But that's
as Maureen Gaffney would say, they're not flourishing. Just if I hear that fucking,
it's all a breakaway. They're all breakaway
off.
Groups.
What?
They're all breakaway groups.
But it doesn't matter. The central message is fucking simple. You can be in any group. Kingdom of God is inside you. We're all going to heaven. Fucking party on.
Yeah, it's all a bit. Yeah, it's a bit of a grey area, I have to say.
It's terrible.
It's a bit like.
Do you think there's evil in the world?
Oh, there's plenty. Yeah, there's evil everywhere. Evil. There's evil on every doorstep.
Everywhere.
Oh, really?
There's evil on every corner.
Every corner.
And there's evil in every parish.
Really?
Yeah.
There's evil lurking.
I don't know if there's evil in every village, but there's.
What level of evil do you want?
Yeah.
Level 3.
What is evil? What is evil?
What is evil? Is evil pulling out, walking by a load of cars and kicking the wing mirrors like the other day in Galway? Is evil getting a load of bins and spewing them out in the ground?
No, that's different.
Is that delinquency? What is evil?
Evil is thriving on other people's pain, causing and relishing their discomfort and suffering. That's evil. Evil is purposely creating
harm,
pain for other people.
Yeah. How can you?
Like deliberately going, I'm going to, and not in a way where you'd be doing it because you're just a bit fucked up or you're just a bit, but actually known in a very cold and calculated way. I am going to, for no, it's like women.
Women? Why is women evil? Women just aren't evil.
Wait till he makes the statement.
It was, why are you down my throat like a fucking perimenopausal nun?
Go on.
It's like women who pick up cats and throw them into dustbins. Remember that was in the news a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
This woman got a cat and just fucked it in the bin.
An awful evil act.
And she walked off then fiddling with herself.
Oh my God.
That's evil.
Evil is a bit more than that. That's evil, but it's not like...
Evil festers in small roads and small country parishes, doesn't it?
Yes.
Evil. But like, I we're not an evil society, are we? We're not evil.
I don't know.
You asked, is there evil?
We don't
around?
Have.
You tell me where
there's
evil is.
There's gone an awful lot.
Evil is on Netflix if you want
there's
it.
There's an awful lot
we're
of gun
fed.
Crime in America again at the minute. Another spurge of.
A
splurge of shooting.
Spurge.
18 years of age. It's terrible there. But is evil. Is evil.
That's
being,
evil.
Is evil being fed to us on everything we're consuming in the Netflix? And
whatever divides us is evil. Whatever divides us. Whatever brings us together is good if it divides us. So what in culture
war
separates us, divides us, turns us into enemies?
Money divides everything.
Yeah.
Fucking wealth and money divides.
How long will it be now?
Money is the root.
How long will you be waiting for your cheque from that corporate last
night? I got it in the bank last night. I pulled into a fucking lay-by between two trucks and went, bing, bing.
Yeah.
We got paid last night, the two nabs.
Did you ever have a wank to your bank account?
Was it be like at the ATM machine or
just,
on the...
display balance. And then get the lad out.
I'll
there's people like that. People
if you say...
Oh, look at that.
Look at that.
If you say that we're talking about evil there, but I want to flip want to flip it on its side here. And it's something that obviously this podcast has brought a lot of joy and happiness and laughter to people. And it has. I love that.
Yes.
But I saw the other day, it was fucking beautifully put. And I want to bring this up. It said, laughter is the sun that drives the winter from your face. And I fucking saw it and I wrote it down when I saw it. And I said, they love this it in the hen house. Take it one more time and I want you to dissolve this all over your brains. Laughter is the sun that drives the winter from your face. Fuck me, Pink, what a statement. Do you like that statement, Tommy?
I do, I love it.
Jim. I don't know who wrote it or where they come from. Drive the winter off your face.
Tattoo next to
you. Do some people have the winter on their face?
Some people are constantly miserable, yes. Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, okay. You can't help them. And some people don't want any crack at all.
No.
No. And Tommy is veers on that, like, side of things sometimes. You know, he likes the crack, but he likes being in the dark places most of the time.
Yes.
He likes the winter there.
Rita,
there was 40, he loves winter.
There was 40,000 people at Ed Sheeran at the weekend.
Is that all?
Yeah. Each night, 40,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had 1 million people each night in the room.
I know, and you had them
and
all.
They weren't there because I'm depressing.
Yeah. No. No.
So,
no, you're not depressing when you're on stage. No. You're not depressing at
so
all.
I should, yeah.
On stage.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Never depressing. You
just, it's just when he comes off stage and he sits on his own in his boxer shorts in the hotel.
It's just these, yeah, exactly, drinking pints in the lift and so he doesn't have to talk to anyone.
Porter tears falling off me, lovely lad.
Did you have any Guinness in the bedroom?
Yes, I did, yep.
Not in the bedroom, please. Tell me you went to a pub and you had a pint, will you please? You're breaking my heart. I can't cope with this. Stop.
Oh, you wouldn't have heard tears like this since fucking Riders to the Sea by John Millington Synge.
Please, please don't tell me you went back to the fucking Europa Hotel and sat up in the bed and fucking drank a pint. Please, please. The Crown was across the road. Please tell me you went there for a pint.
I popped into the Crown for 2 pints.
And did you just sit in a little booth or did you sit at the bar?
I sat on my own in the booth and I had my tour manager stand outside. Don't let anybody in. And I was there in the nip.
So it was the same as being in the bed.
Dipping me lad in the pint. What?
It's the same.
I know. I went out socialising in Belfast.
You did?
It was good, yeah.
Wow, I'm impressed. Jesus Christ, that's
what part progress. What part of the country brings you this weekend?
This weekend I am Limerick, Ennis, and then I'm 3 nights in Derry after that. So that's a good weekend for
Derry,
me.
Derry, Saturday.
Yeah,
good fun. That'll be good. And your Derry girls will be over and everyone will be mad for Derry.
And I have to give a big shout out to, I saw on some of the newspaper things that Conversations with Friends was getting a bit of a grilling.
I thought it's only starting.
And I just want to say that for people to don't mind those young idiots who are writing for those newspapers, Conversations with Friends is fantastic, slow, deep, mournful, serious.
They just don't get it.
Complicated fucking television. You just relax into it. You fall into it like a huge soup of soul. So I'd encourage you to don't mind the fucking idiot journalists who have to, as my father says, paper never refused ink.
Yes.
And rubbish expands to fill every space that's available to it. I would urge you.
That's only starting, isn't it?
Some of these journalists don't have the maturity to appreciate what it is. And it's slow, soulful, complicated, dramatic television. And I can only recommend it to you. So, that's all from us today, everybody. If you have enjoyed this episode, please be sure to go to our subscriber episode, which is out every Monday. Go to Acast Plus.
Everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.